Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey, you guys. Justin Sylvester from E! News here. Looking for a new way to stream? Well, meet Peacock, the free streaming service from NBC Universal. With tons of movies and shows, plus a daily dose of news, sports, and pop culture, there's something for everybody. And best of all, you can watch for free or upgrade for more. Who doesn't like that? So go to PeacockTV.com and start streaming now. Personally, I can't wait to get into that Law & Order SVU vault. You know I'm a fiend for it.
Hello and welcome to Daily Pop. I am Morgan Stewart, joined by Justin Sylvester and Victor Cruz today. You guys, it is shaking here in Hollywood. Victor, we have to ask you, this was your first earthquake. How are you doing?
Guys, feel free to go online and buy me a t-shirt that says, "I survived my first earthquake." I've been through hurricanes, I've been through tornadoes, I've been through snowstorms.
But oh my God.
The feeling of the earth shaking up underneath you is a feeling I hopefully never want to feel again. But I survived, guys. It was like two of them. I think the second one was an aftershock. Is that a thing here? Aftershock?
Yep.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. It was an interesting feeling, to say the least.
Wow, yeah, Victor, I cannot believe I heard you say that after 250-pound men rushed you for 10 years of your life. Like, this is the feeling?
But again, I know that they're coming to tackle me. This one was out of my sleep at 4 o'clock in
You're
the
right.
morning with the earth.
Just, right.
I felt like that meme. You know that meme of that guy like, whoa.
It definitely woke me up, but I was like, I wasn't that nervous. It was definitely a thump, but then I was like, wait, is this going to continue? That's always, you'll get used to that. You're like, is this the last one or are there going to be five more? So, but you'll see. All right, you guys, we have to get to my interview with Rihanna. I don't want to make it a big deal, but she knows who I am.
Oh, is Morgan from Rich Kids?
Oh my God, I love you.
Now the world knows I watched that.
I know, I won't tell
anyone. You're so funny.
I thank you
You're
so much.
You're so funny.
I deny that I'm on the show, so it'll be between you and I. How has quarantine been for you? Have you been holding on? Are you doing well?
Yeah, quarantine has been a shit. I'm not used to staying in one place for a long time. I'm used to being on the plane all the time. So it's been an adjustment, but I've embraced it. I've really embraced it. I don't want to complain about being at home, because I always complain about not being able to be at home.
Right.
So I'm just going to take care of my skin, stay moisturized, drink some water, and try to sleep. But I'm enjoying it. I'm fine.
I love that.
Oh my God, I love you and I know you as your friend. The queen herself was giving you a compliment and all you were worried about was that lighting.
The lighting, you guys, I just said to the crew, can you please stop playing the clip? But I just want to point out, I didn't realize yesterday within the excitement of speaking to Rihanna, she said I was so funny twice. Did you see? It wasn't once. It was two times.
It was two times.
So, yeah, I'm happy we ran that back. But we needed to just cut there. It was scary. But anyway, I will have much more from my interview tomorrow, which is also when Rihanna's new skincare line launches exclusively on FentySkin.com. It smells amazing, so you guys should check it out. All right, the Ellen DeGeneres drama, you guys, it continues. The former executive producer of Australia's Today Show said on radio station 4BC that he was told not to look at or speak to Ellen when producing an interview with her in 2013. That's a long time ago. He says Ellen's staff dictated everything from seating to lighting to how the interview would look. This comes right after several Ellen employees anonymously told BuzzFeed News it was a toxic work environment. We should point out that these complaints were not about Ellen herself, and the show's executive producers have said they are taking these claims very seriously. All right, but now that someone else has spoken out, do you guys think it's time for Ellen to maybe say something at this point?
I don't think so. I think Ellen should let Warner Brothers do their thing, let Warner Brothers do the investigation, because Ellen knows that Ellen is a hundreds and hundreds of million dollars per year head. That head will not roll. Somebody's going to have to do it, you know, from the bottom. It's going to be a producer. But I have to say this, after reading that whole thing and listening to what happened on the set, there are times when publicists will come into this office and say to you, don't ask about her husband, don't ask about her kids, don't ask about Christmas. And you're like, okay. And then you ask the celebrity, like, hey, how's everything going? And she's like, well, my ex-husband's a terrible mess and my kid is great, but we're spending Christmas together in Vancouver. And it's the publicist that normally puts these restrictions on people, and the celebrity doesn't even know it.
Yeah, but I think Ellen has to, she has to come out and say something at some point in time, because at the end of the day, it's a representation of her. Everyone that she's hired, everyone that, that works behind the scenes, is still a representation of her and her show and how it's depicted and how it's viewed. And these things are starting to snowball now in terms of what people are seeing. They don't want you to make eye contact with Ellen. I mean, I'm a guest on the show. I can't look at her in the eyes. Like, it's little things like that that kind of just strike me the wrong way. And I feel like she needs to say
something.
Right.
I think, listen, I think the not looking, I think what you said was a really important thing about snowballing. I think that these things are just starting to mount, and I think everything is going to really come to a head. I think there's definitely going to be an organization shuffle. I think, like, people in executive positions on that show are definitely going to be replaced. And I think once all of that sort of internal business takes place, I think Ellen will then come out and say, we've really looked at the situation. We've really heard all of your complaints. You know, we really did have to look within and see, you know, what was going on. And in because of this, we've done X, Y, and Z. So I think Justin's right. Like, she's not going to be affected by the situation, but she's definitely going to have to get in there, clean out some things in the kitchen.
She's going to have to say something. She's going to have to say something.
She is. And I do, I definitely think
they're going to write something for her, and she's going to sign her name on it, and they're going to print it in Variety. But, you know, we care about these things here in Los Angeles and in New York. But if you look at Ellen's demographic, Ellen could literally sacrifice a goat on live TV, and the women, you know, across America would be like, oh my God, Ellen, it's amazing. They love her. She can do no wrong. So for us in the industry, we're like, oh my God, I can't believe. But everyone in the Middle States, they don't care. Ellen is their dude.
Yeah, no, it's true. I think people definitely want to be entertained by her. And I definitely think that the maybe like reading in print really quickly, you know, not looking at someone in the eye. I don't know if that literally means don't look at her in the eye, or we're really trying to keep a tight schedule. She's speaking to a lot of different people today. So we just don't want to get her held up.
There's different really ways to tell me that y'all are on a tight schedule than telling me not to look her in the eye. I'm going to walk in there like this. Like now I'm like, okay, let me just look down the whole time.
Yeah. Victor, be honest. You had that one cousin working for you who got a little bit of power, who would walk in and be like, what's up? I'm with Victor Cruz. Like, oh, no. And, you know, they talk to the left at security people. They talk to the left at people promoting things. It's never about the celebrity. It's always about the person who gets a little bit of power and wields it. And sometimes the celebrity doesn't even know how far that you got. You know, you have that person in your camp.
But it's always up to the celebrity. I was always the one that was like, okay, if I'm doing something and we're on a tight schedule, I'm going to always still make sure I go out and shake the person's hand, make that person feel at home, make them feel like they're part of this, make them feel
at ease. Be professional.
You know what I mean? Be professional. I was never just letting my cousin handle, you know, the particulars, and I'm just in the back like, yeah, what's up? What he said. Listen to him.
But there was always that one extra one.
Right.
Yeah, I cut all my cousins off. I ain't got no more cousins that's close by.
Honestly, like, just follow my lead. Cousins are a waste of time. They never last anyway, trust me. All right, Tiffany, they don't. Take it from me. You think a cousin's relevant, and you're like, you don't do anything. You gotta go. All right. It's like parents and immediate siblings and significant others. I can't wait till I get tweets from people who are like, I love my cousin. All right, we're moving on to Tiffany Haddish. She says she's afraid to have kids because of racism, you guys. Listen to what she just told Carmelo Anthony on his What's in Your Glass YouTube show.
I'm not a fearful person, right? But, like, I have watched many of my friends, not many, but I've more than two of my friends growing up be killed by police officers, you know? And it makes you feel like, dang, you know, as a black person, we were being hunted. And, you know, now I'm older now, I'm a little older, and people are like, you're going to have baby when you're going to have some babies, and you're going to drop some babies. And but really, it's like, I would hate to give birth to someone that looks like me and then knowing that they're going to be hunted or killed. You know, like, why would I put someone through that?
Wow. I mean, listening to her say the words hunted, that's pretty brutal. Do you guys relate to what she said? Victor, I know you have kids. You know what I mean? You have a daughter. What do you think about this?
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely relate. Obviously, my daughter is 8 years old and already into, you know, in the world, but I definitely relate to what she's saying, and it's tough. I have conversations with my daughter all the time, making sure that she understands that she's a strong Black woman, that she can stand for herself, that she understands the difference between right and wrong. Like, it's just a constant reminder that I give her to just understand who she is and be strong and powerful in that. And I don't blame Tiffany for, you know, not wanting to bring a kid into this world, but I do think that Tiffany Haddish is strong enough to bring a kid into this world and to teach that child, you know, how to navigate this world and how to make this world a better place. I think that's the part we need to focus on, is bringing kids into this world and teaching them how to be better adults, better kids, better people, so that the rest of the world can grow and become a better place.
100%.
Absolutely, well said.
You know, I think it's interesting because I totally get what she's saying, but growing up surrounded by racism, you know, I just always thought it was another part of life. Mm-hmm. And when I hear her say these sentiments, you know, it makes me think about people who don't want daughters because rape and molestation exists, or don't want sons because they don't want their sons to be hunted by police. What we should be doing, and what I need to do in order to, you know, bring myself to doing this, is having kids and letting them be the reason that I fight for equality and I fight for things to change, instead of teaching them how to navigate the world. No, I'm going to teach the world how to navigate you and treat you like an equal, exactly, and how to look at you like a person. And I'm going to use you to really bring that power out of me, because some generations say, you know, it was better for us than it was for my parents. And then the generation after that say, oh, it's better for us than it was for my grandparents. But when you're looking at a child, you have to say, oh my God, I can't let you go through this, so let me change it now.
Right.
Exactly.
That's very true. And I also think, you know, just in the state of the world that we're living in now, we realize that it really hasn't been better for any generation, right? There's still so much change that needs to happen.
I was just going to say, how is my grandmother telling me it was better? Yeah. It's better for us now. It's kind of the same. It's just
it
different.
It is the same.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. There might be a little bit of improvement, but quite frankly, the things that we've had to witness over the past few months, the things that I've had to learn about and kind of check myself about as rapidly as I have, it's like, well, it's not that different from 50 years ago. Clearly, we're still dealing with racism. It is in our face every single day. So I love what you both said. I hope Tiffany Haddish reconsiders, and she does have kids, and she takes what you guys said and just kind of
says, listen, baby, Tiff. It's going to be
navigate.
Fine.
Navigate. Yes.
Yeah, girl.
Yes,
let
absolutely.
Come get it, girl. Let come and get it, girl.
All right, coming up, the NSYNC showdown we've been waiting 20 years for. Justin and Victor, we're putting you guys to the test in the hot seat. And if you don't succeed, there is a massive punishment. Trust me, you guys won't want to miss this. It's next.
Are you sick?
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Time for Throwback Thursday. All right, NSYNC's It's Gonna Be Me was a number one hit 20 years ago. Today, you guys, that stings. Here's a look back at one of our favorite boy bands.
Hi.
It's gonna be me.
Our music kind of helps bring the kid out and everybody. So, you know, our music is fun and we have fun doing it, and it's a positive vibe, so I think it brings the kid out, in even the most of grown-ups.
It's gonna be me.
It's all excitement. We're just all excited to be a part of something like this, and it's gonna be fun.
Can't run myself crazy.
Wanting you the way that I do.
Wanting you the way that I do.
Everybody join the group.
All right, now we're going to play, we're going to celebrate by playing a little game we're calling our It's Gonna Be Battle. Guys, clever name. All right, I'll ask you guys a question, and you'll both guess which member of the band I'm talking about by answering It's Gonna Be, get it, whoever you think it is. I got the answers, and I didn't get it until just right now. All right, at the end, the loser has to dance to the song. I know you're excited. All right, are you ready? Mm-hmm. Okay, which band member pitched the idea for NSYNC after missing the cut for Backstreet Boys?
It's going to be Justin Timberlake.
It's going to be Joy Fatone.
You are both wrong. Get one more answer?
It's going to be Chris
Kirkpatrick. No, that's not. No, this isn't right.
Yeah, no, you're right. This is football. That's wrong. So it is Chris, but you don't get the point, either of you. See? I'm getting word from above. Yeah. All right, next one. Which band member originally wrote Gone as a single for Michael Jackson?
It's going to be Justin Timberlake.
It's going to be Justin Timberlake.
Correct. Justin got that. Victor, you didn't even try there. All right,
fine. I knew that one.
Next, which band member was the first to appear on Dancing with the Stars?
It's going to be Joy Fatone.
It's going to be Joy Fatone.
Victor, one for you. Hope you guys are keeping score of who's winning, because I'm not. Which band member dated Boy Meets World's Danielle Fishel?
It's going to be Lance Bass, the gayest one.
Yeah, you're right. All right, which band member was the last to join the band?
It's going to be J.C. Chante.
Christopher Patrick.
Nope, both wrong. Lance was the last person to join the band. Justin, you win.
No, Victor lost. Victor lost. Yep. Go ahead, Victor.
No.
Yes, you win.
No, Victor lost. So, Victor, you have. There's like dancing that needs to happen
All
for
right.
you right
Can
now.
Can I get the music? Is the music
oh
on?
Oh, my God.
Get the ones out. Get those dollars out.
Do I have
out.
To hide? I'm so nervous.
Get those dollars out.
I get no music. I'm going to dance. I'm going to dance. There's just nothing. It's going to be me.
Wow, you did good. It's gonna be me. That's a good. That's a good way.
Look at this. I could do this
you
all day.
You really are killing
Who's gonna
it.
Stop me?
You know what? I want you to do that for the rest of the show. We have nothing else to talk about.
Done.
Good job. Good fight. All right. Garth Brooks says he's had enough winning. Thank you very much. In fact, he wants to pull his name permanently out of the running for the CMA's Entertainer of the Year award. He's already won a record 7 times. Is this the right move for him? What do you guys think?
By the way, what year? Bitch, we've been in lockdown. Ain't nobody got no entertainment this year. Ain't nobody did no entertaining this year. We've been stuck in our houses. What concert were you doing?
What entertaining was he doing?
If you're not on TikTok or baking some banana bread or doing a Savage Challenge, Garth Brooks, I think you're good on winning this one this year. You probably won't get it, okay?
No, I agree with that. If he's performing in his living room and streaming it live, then we probably should check that out. But I think it's time for Garth to move out the way. How many are you going to win? It's time for some younger crop to come in there and win some things. Not that Garth isn't continuing to be great, but let's get some young blood in there winning some awards.
Well, you know what happened last year, right? You know what happened last year, right?
I saw that.
So Garth is doing this because when he won his 7th award last year for that same category, people were upset that Carrie Underwood didn't win. And everyone was saying that country music was a male-dominated place and the women never have a chance to shine. So everyone thought that when that movement happened, that Carrie Underwood was going to finally get it. And they gave it to Garth Brooks. So Garth was like, deuces, wow. I'm out of here.
Wow, you are CMA. Who knew you knew that much? Oh, my God. Good job.
All right,
up next, a young football player who was wrongly accused of sexual assault. We're talking to him about the controversial conviction and the new docuseries about his life.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I got a text message with Greg Kelly's photo. And it just said, do you know this kid?
There was a crime committed, according to this 4-year-old boy.
I just turned numb. Like, this can't be true.
And that's when a second victim came forward.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Gregory Kelly, guilty of the offense.
This trial was a sham.
That is a look at Outcry, the new docuseries that examines the controversial conviction of then-high school football star Greg Kelly. Now, in 2013, Greg was arrested, convicted, and sentenced to 25 years to life for the sexual assault of a 4-year-old boy. Supporters rallied behind Greg, and his conviction was overturned. Greg's joining us now via Skype. Greg, I'm so happy for you that justice was served. But watching this clip, what it goes through your mind? How do you feel?
Still to this day, it doesn't get easier, guys. Me and my family, that nightmare that we went through is something that I don't wish on my worst enemy.
I can't even imagine. Greg, you were walking in with a target on your back. What was it like being in prison, knowing that people would want to hurt you because of what they think you did?
You know, I was 18 years old when I got accused for this. I was a kid who trusted the justice system to do the right thing. I was a kid who didn't even know what a lawyer did. I was a kid who was taught about justice and law and order from Law and Order, the show. So I'm sitting here and I'm getting accused of such a monstrous crime. I'm trying to tell everybody, please believe me, I didn't do it. And now nobody's listening to me, and they're painting me out to be a monster even more.
You know, it's interesting to me. I heard somewhere that you guys moved back to the small town in Texas that you're from. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Cedar Park, Texas.
Do you still feel that there are people out there, even after watching this documentary, even after the exoneration, that still believe that you did it?
After that happening, a groundswell of support and love started coming up.
Yeah.
And people started having my back, and I didn't expect any of that. I mean, I myself was losing hope, but all these people started believing in me, and they started to say, "Hey, Greg, we're here for you, man. We love you. We're gonna get you through this." It gave me a little bit more hope. But at the same time, there were also people out there that were child advocates, which is awesome. Children should have advocates. But at the same time, I think that they were very blind in this whole thing. And still to this day, I continue to get persecuted, and it breaks my heart. It really does. It breaks my family's heart, because I don't deserve that. They don't deserve that. I've done everything I possibly can to show you that I didn't do this.
Look, I've watched that thing twice. I know every twist and turn in this thing. And, you know, you got a happy ending at the end. You know, you got married to your high school sweetheart. You got exonerated. You got the walk-on role, the opportunity to walk on to another college football team. Greg, what's next for you in your life? What's the next step?
Well, I got a lot of things, man. I got hopes and dreams that I'm chasing and I'm trying to tackle down. And football is a love of mine. I also have dreams of having a prison ministry, guys. I want to give back.
Well, Greg, you seem like the only one who's having a good 2020 right now. I mean, exonerated. Hey, the world knows that you didn't do it now. And your life is thriving, Greg. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. The fact that Greg Kelly could be on this show to talk to us about what happened to him after going to prison at the age of 18 years old with the biggest target on his back, being labeled a pedophile when he wasn't, is a miracle in itself. So if anything good happened in 2020, it's that this man has gotten his life back.
I can't even imagine what he was going through at 18 years old. Like, that's such a young age to go through something like this.
Right.
Crazy.
Yes.
Crazy.
It's crazy. All right. That's all we have for today, you guys. We will see you back here tomorrow on Daily Pop. Bye.